Nehemiah chapter 12. So if you haven't turned there yet, turn to Nehemiah chapter 12. In my travels overseas into Europe and into Israel, I've had many opportunities to visit old, impressive church buildings. The large, cavernous buildings where your voice echoes when you speak. The pillars, the candles, the paintings, the stained glass windows, the statues. Those real traditional formal types of buildings. And when you walk into a place like that, you almost are afraid to take a breath. And everybody in there whispers. And there's a shh mentality. You get a chance to visit lots of those types of churches in Israel. In fact, there's one church that we visit when we're at the Sea of Galilee that has a big sign on the front door that says, "Keep silence in the church." And oftentimes in church buildings like that, you'll find spiritual leaders that wear long robes, long hats, long beards, and long faces. And I don't know about you, but personally, I don't like that vibe when it comes to church. I think that laughter, joy, excitement, and celebration and expression of joy should fill churches, don't you? I think we should just be celebrating when we get together. And of course, that requires that God's people who gather in churches are overflowing with joy. That we are joyful people. That we are a people who celebrate. But too often, we as Christians are too uptight, too somber, too stuffy. We buy into the idea that in order for a Christian to look holy, they've got to look gloomy and grim. Ray Stedman said that some Christians look like they've been soaked in embalming fluid. Let that not be said of us. Last week, we learned that there is a serious side to following Jesus Christ, and that is absolutely true. There is a serious commitment that we must have as Christians, and there is an absolutely serious side to following Christ. But then there are also times as Christians when we're just called to celebrate the Lord, to enjoy the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord, especially when we gather together corporately and sing our praise to the Lord. Chapters 10 and 11 of Nehemiah were serious chapters, highlighting our serious commitment to the Lord. Chapter 12 is a celebration chapter. Because you're going to see in this chapter, the nation of Israel has a party. They have a fiesta. They plan this wonderful worship service where you hear the sounds of joy and celebration in the city. It's a marvelous, marvelous chapter. Chapter 12 opens up with another list. The very first 26 verses of chapter 12 are a tabulation of the priests and Levites that served under Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah. In the days when the Jews returned back to Jerusalem after their captivity. It lists all those spiritual leaders that were active at that time. And as many of you know, the spiritual leaders of Israel, the priests and the Levites, they had many different responsibilities that they had to take care of. The priests were in charge of administering the sacrifices. When the people came and offered animal sacrifices, the priests, they took care of that. They administered it. The priests were responsible to administer the daily sacrifices, morning and evening. The sacrifices that were offered on holy days, special days. They were also in charge of maintaining all of the holy items in the temple area. The candelabra, the brazen altar, the altar of incense, the table of showbread. And the priests were in charge of ministering to the people, praying for the people, counseling the people, giving the word of God to the people. And the Levites were also spiritual leaders, and they were in charge of maintaining the temple area and assisting the priests in various matters. So they were very busy guys. They had lots of responsibilities. But they also had another responsibility that I want to highlight for you this morning. I'm not going to read all the names of these priests and Levites in the first 26 verses, but I just want you to notice what a few of them were required to do. It was their responsibility. Look at verse 8. It says, moreover, the Levites were Jeshua, Binui, Kadmiel, Sherebiah, Judah, and Mattaniah, who led the thanksgiving psalms, he and his brethren. There were some Levites who were responsible as spiritual leaders to lead the people in thanksgiving songs. Look at verse 24. It says, the heads of the Levites were Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brothers across from them, to praise and give thanks, group alternating with group, according to the command of David, the man of God. Again, there was a group of Levites, spiritual leaders, that were responsible to lead the people in praise and worship. There were different groups. They would alternate. They were musicians. They were worship leaders. In the Old Testament, there were spiritual leaders that were called by the Lord to lead God's people in celebration, songs of joy, singing, shouting. And I think that that is absolutely important and essential for the church today. I certainly believe that spiritual leaders are responsible to provide an atmosphere of celebration and joy for God's people. Spiritual leaders should lead God's people in the singing of songs of joy, praise, thanksgiving, and celebration. It is a responsibility of the spiritual leaders to provide an outlet for God's people to sing, to praise the Lord, to celebrate. And certainly that is the responsibility of the worship leader in any church. And it is the responsibility of the pastor in any church. And my brother and sister in Christ, God wants us to come to Him that way. Did you know that? The psalm that we opened up the service with, Psalm 100, says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. As the pastor of this church, I want to tell you something this morning, and I absolutely believe that Daniel would agree, and that the worship team members would agree, and that all of God's people here in this fellowship that lead worship in some capacity, they would agree with me as well. You are free to celebrate at church. You are free to sing songs of joy to the Lord at the top of your lungs at church. Our desire is to provide an environment here for you to do just that. So I want to encourage you, sing loudly, or for some of you, just make that joyful noise loudly. Clap! Shout! Raise your hands! Shout hallelujah! Church is a party. Church is a celebration of the Lord. It should be warm and festive. Sing, sing to the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, football season is upon us, and I'm always amazed every year by how crazy some of the fans are on TV. The way people act at a sporting event, the things they wear or don't wear. And there's shots of the crowd where they're high-fiving, they're dancing, they're getting up and they're doing waves, and it's to be expected, right? They're at a football game. What is wrong with the people of God getting excited about being in the presence of Jesus Christ and serving God and praising Him? Celebration, God's people. Let me tell you, celebrate. Has the Lord been good to you? Sing to Him. The worship leaders, the spiritual leaders in charge of Israel, were responsible to provide that environment. We will do so here at our fellowship. Now look at verse 27 as they begin to plan a celebration. It says in verse 27, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth. For the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem." Here we see that the nation of Israel is planning a dedication service. They are going to dedicate the walls that have been rebuilt around Jerusalem. And so they're planning this marvelous worship service where they will celebrate all that God has done. The walls have been rebuilt, and a lot had been accomplished. Just a few months prior to Nehemiah chapter 12, Jerusalem had basically been a ghost town. The walls around Jerusalem were in ruins. They were crumbled. But as we've been studying, Nehemiah was called by the Lord and he went to Jerusalem and he rallied the people of God to rebuild those walls around Jerusalem. And they completed that project despite all kinds of opposition. And it's an amazing thing because the scripture says they completed the project in 52 days. And then after those walls were rebuilt, we saw how there was this amazing spiritual revival among the people of God. And then they repopulated the city of Jerusalem. And so the city has been transformed from a defenseless ghost town to a protected, populated, thriving spiritual center for the Jewish people. And so much has been done, and it's time to celebrate. They have this dedication service, and they're just going to have this wonderful worship service. I was thinking to myself that someday, Lord willing, we'll have a building dedication service at our church, and I am going to celebrate. That is going to be one marvelous worship service. I want to have a massive, massive celebration on the day that we dedicate our new building. Songs, singing, bands, worship. I might even have special treats. Starbucks, Krispy Kreme donuts. tacos from Chico himself. You know, whatever. We're going to have a celebration. And I'm telling you what, these people in Israel in Nehemiah chapter 12, they're having a celebration. They're worshiping the Lord, and this is wonderful. Look who are the primary players in that worship service. Look who is sought out. Look who they look for. Verse 27, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving, singing, cymbals, and stringed instruments and harps. Nehemiah says, we're going to have a worship service. Find the musicians. Find the singers. Find those who play the stringed instruments, the harps, the drums. Find the anointed worship leaders. Gather them all up. They're needed here. There's going to be a worship service. And so all of the anointed, called worship leaders of Israel are gathered together. As I thought about that this week, the Lord reminded me of how important, valuable, and necessary anointed musicians and worship leaders are to us as the people of God. And the worship leaders, the singers, the musicians need to be appreciated and encouraged by God's people in their necessary work. Isn't it wonderful to have anointed, talented musicians to lead us in worship? And I'm so grateful for all the musicians and worship leaders that God has given to His church in general. I think of some of them that I hear on the radio or on CD, and how thankful I am they lead me into worship. And then certainly I am so very grateful and thankful for the wonderful, talented musicians and worship leaders that God has raised up in this fellowship. And I don't want to rob their reward, and I'm not trying to puff them up, but I want us as a congregation to acknowledge their ministry and to show them our appreciation for their hard work. Amen. It's an important work. It's a valuable work. And I would want to remind anyone here at this fellowship who leads worship in any type of capacity, I want you to be reminded this morning that yours is a sacred, holy calling. You lead God's people in celebration, in rejoicing in the Lord. Call the singers, call the band, Nehemiah says. We're going to have a celebration. So, all these musicians, worship leaders, they show up in Jerusalem. The days come. Let's see what they do next. Verse 30 says, then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Everybody arrives, they're all set, but what do they do first? There's a purification process. Purification first, before worship and celebration. It says that the Levites and the priests purified themselves. The musicians purified themselves. No doubt they obeyed the ritualistic commands of the Old Testament law. There were sacrifices that were made on their behalf. There was cleansing. There was washing with water. They went through that purification ritual. It says that they purified the people. Again, according to the ritualistic Old Testament law, sacrifices offered. The people were purified. And then it says they purified the gates and the wall. Again, following the Old Testament law, no doubt the priests went and sprinkled water on the gates and the wall And they went through that elaborate sort of cleansing ritualistic system in purifying those things. But there was purification first. Then celebration. Then worship. And that is an important, important lesson. Understand this morning that a singing people must first be a sanctified people. A celebrating people must be a cleansed people. We must have our sins forgiven. We must be pure before the Lord. Perhaps you're here this morning as a Christian and worship has kind of lost its meaning to you. And you're looking back in your life and you're thinking, when was the last time I really celebrated the Lord? Or worshiped Him and experienced that joy? Well, perhaps you're not entering into true worship right now because there's some kind of a barrier in your life. Perhaps you're one who's rebelling against the Lord, and it's hard to celebrate the Lord against whom you're rebelling. Or perhaps there's a sin in your life that God is dealing with, and that's a barrier to you entering in. That can be a barrier, a problem to your worship. It says in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully." Oh, my brother and sister in Christ, if you're not celebrating, if you're not a worshiper, if you're not one who expresses joy, perhaps you need to be restored to fellowship with God this morning. You need to get your sins cleansed. You need to be forgiven afresh. And in the New Testament, we don't do that by following some purification ritual. In the New Testament, it's very simple. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Just cleanse your sin or confess your sins to the Lord. Come to Him. Get right with Him. And let that celebration begin in your life, because you'll find that God will cleanse you, receive you back, and you will sing. Maybe you're here this morning and you can't figure out worship. Why do they sing so much? What is all that worship about when you get to church? And maybe you like the music, you like the beat, or you like the sound, but you don't get into worship. You don't know what that's all about. Perhaps for you this morning, you need to come into a relationship with the living God. You need to be born again. You need to have your sins forgiven. Bible says God gave His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And we are all sinners before the Lord. And if you want to have your sins forgiven, then you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And your sins are forgiven based on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And you'll become a child of God. You'll become born again. And oh, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ will put a brand new song in your life, in your heart, and you will sing, and you will get worship. You will get celebration. Purification first. Worship and celebration afterwards. So they purified the people, the priests, the Levites, the gates, the walls. And then they had the celebration. Now check out this celebration. I love it. Verse 31. Nehemiah says, "So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs." Now this is great. Levites, priests, worship leaders, singers, musicians, various leaders of the nation of Israel. Nehemiah says, come on, let's go up on the very wall that's been completed. And there's this crowd on the wall. And then Nehemiah divides them into two separate thanksgiving choirs. Verse 31, one went to the right hand on the wall toward the refuse gate. And after them went Hoshea and half of the leaders of Judah and Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priest's sons with trumpets. Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph. And his brethren Shemaiah, Azrael, Milalai, Gilalai, Mai, Nethanel, Judah, and Hanani, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, Ezra the scribe went before them. By the fountain gate in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall, beyond the house of David, as far as the water gate eastward. So you got two Thanksgiving choirs. One choir goes in a counterclockwise direction, marching on the walls and the southern and eastern walls of the city. Verse 38, the other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way. And I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall, and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. Now I love this. You got two worship bands on top of the walls, two choirs, two groups of people, and they parade around Jerusalem in opposite directions, blowing trumpets, singing, shouting, celebrating. It was probably a 30-minute march, two-thirds of a mile. And no doubt all the neighbors are thinking, what's going on over there? They could be seen. Look where they meet. Verse 40, I love this. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise, I and the half of the rulers with me. So they go up on the wall. They march around in opposite directions, singing, shouting, celebrating. They meet at an area right by the temple. They come down off the wall and they gather into the courts of the temple, the courts of the Lord. There all the people are together. And let me tell you, they sing. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, verse 40. Likewise, I and the half of the rulers with me. And the priests are mentioned with trumpets. Verse 42, other singers are mentioned. And at the end of verse 42, it says, the singers sang loudly with Jezreiah, the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Isn't that awesome? What an amazing worship service that would have been. Just all this festivity, all this fanfare, the marching, the singing, the rejoicing, and everybody's participating, the spiritual leaders, the musicians, the women, the children, all of the people. Jerusalem erupts with a sound of joy that can be heard afar off. That's what church should sound like. That's what the world needs to hear. That's what we need to be about as Christians. Celebrating people, singing people. Brother and sister in Christ, why do we celebrate? Why do we sing? Why do we worship? A number of reasons, just a few to mention this morning. We celebrate victory. It's a victory party, the worship service is. Here in Nehemiah chapter 12, the people of God are celebrating the fact that they've been victorious over that building project. They've completed those walls. They've accomplished this major thing. They've had victory. And so they sing with joy. They praise, they worship, they give thanks. And you know, just the fact of them marching around Jerusalem on top of the very walls that they rebuilt is a statement of victory, isn't it? Those walls are built. God built them. We are victorious. Let us march upon them. Let us sing. I think that parade around Jerusalem was probably very, very meaningful to Nehemiah. You remember back in Nehemiah chapter 2 when Nehemiah first got to Jerusalem? He did a little parade around Jerusalem. He did a circuit around Jerusalem. He went out by himself. And he went around and he looked at all those broken down, ruined walls. And he inspected it up close. And it said, oh, there's so much work to be done. And now here in chapter 12, there's been victory. The walls are rebuilt. They're walking around on it. Makes you sing. They've had victory over their enemies. You remember all the hassle they were given when they were rebuilding those walls? The enemies around would try to scare them and threaten them. And we're even told specifically that an enemy by the name of Tobiah was mocking them while they were rebuilding the walls. Tobiah said to them, oh, when you get these walls built, they're going to be so weak. If a little fox is on the top of that wall, the weight of that fox will cause the walls to crumble. Nehemiah says, Mr. Tobiah, these walls now hold a small army, a marching band, worship teams that parade around. Oh yeah, there's victory over enemies. And they celebrate it. And this is why you and I celebrate today as Christians. Because we're victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ has defeated the devil. He has defeated the power of sin. He has conquered death. And if you belong to Jesus Christ, you are victorious in Jesus Christ. You are victorious over the devil, over the power of sin, and the power of death. And that's something to sing about. That's something to celebrate. Amen. That's something to rejoice over. And I also want you to consider this, my brother and sister in Christ. Think of all the areas in your life that God has given you victory in. Oh, when you first became a Christian and you look into your life and you go around certain walls of things in your life and you inspect it, you make that first circuit and you see things broken and torn down and in ruins. And as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you begin to see the Lord rebuild those walls, and pretty soon you reach a time of victory where you're walking around on top of those rebuilt walls. And that should make you sing. Rejoice. God has given you celebration and victory. For many of you, when you first became a Christian, your marriages were in a wreck. And years later, your marriage has improved by the power of Jesus Christ. And that's something to sing about. You've been given victory. Why else should we celebrate and sing when we gather together? Hey, just out of pure thanksgiving, don't you think? Just being thankful. That's again why they gathered and had this worship service. It says that they had a Thanksgiving choir. Not just one Thanksgiving choir. Two Thanksgiving choirs. You can't thank the Lord enough. And this is why we sing and we gather. We're telling the Lord how thankful we are to Him for the blessings that He has poured out upon our life. For our salvation. For the many ways that He takes care of us. And again, maybe there's a Christian here this morning who hasn't been entering into worship lately. It doesn't mean as much as it used to. Perhaps you have unthankfulness in your heart. perhaps you have become one who is absorbed with what you're lacking and you think you need. And you have forgotten about all the wonderful blessings that God has poured out upon your life. Jesus said to his disciples, listen, rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. Just be thankful because your sins are forgiven. That's enough to keep you singing for all of eternity. Why else were these people celebrating? Well, it is my opinion here that in Nehemiah chapter 12, these people were just filled at that moment with a supernatural joy of the Lord. God had just filled the hearts of His people at that time with joy. Look at verse 43. Look at all the times it says joy and rejoice. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoice. For God had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. God filled His people with supernatural joy. And I believe God still does that today if we will allow Him. Did you know that joy is different from happiness? Happiness depends on what happens in your life. Joy is independent of any circumstances that you may face in life. It's inner. It's an inward peace that God the Holy Spirit sheds forth in your heart. It's just the simple joy of knowing Jesus Christ and being in His presence. If you don't have that joy in your life right now, let me ask you, my brother and sister in Christ, this morning, today, ask God to fill you with supernatural joy. He wants to. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Be filled with joy. Supernatural joy. Joy should mark the life of a believer. Why else do they celebrate and why else should we celebrate? I love this. To be seen and heard by the world. To be seen and heard by the world. As I said, here they are. There's this parade walking around, parading on the walls around Jerusalem. You bet the neighbors saw them. You bet the enemies that said, you can't rebuild that wall, looked upon them and saw them walking in victory. And you bet everyone around heard them singing. In fact, it says that exact thing in verse 43. The joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. My brother and sister in Christ, I believe that we should celebrate because the world needs to hear God's people celebrating. We don't want the world to hear the church complaining, murmuring, griping. We don't want the world to see the church dividing, fighting, quarreling. We want the world to see the church singing, marching in victory. We want us to be seen and heard walking in victory. And I know I want that to be true in my life as a Christian. When people in your office or people in your family or people in your circle, sphere of influence see you, what do they see? What do they see and hear? Do they see a man of God, a woman of God who's singing victoriously, marching victoriously? Would that characterize you and your life? God wants to give you that joy. God wants to give you that victory, that celebration spirit. The world needs to see it. The German philosopher Nietzsche said, if the Christians expect me to believe in their Redeemer, they have got to look a lot more redeemed. Do you look redeemed? Or do you look like those guys with the long faces in the traditional churches? Have the glow of the Lord upon you. Well, look what else happens on that day of celebration. Look at verse 44. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse for the offerings, the first fruits and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions specified by the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Both the singers and the gatekeepers kept the charge of their God and the charge of the purification according to the command of David and Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chiefs of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving to God. In the days of Zerubbabel and in the days of Nehemiah, all Israel gave the portions for the singers and the gatekeepers, a portion for each day. They also consecrated holy things for the Levites, and the Levites consecrated them for the children of Aaron. On that great day of celebration, offerings were given to the Lord. First fruits were given to the Lord. Tithes were given unto the Lord's work. And this was an area in the life of God's people that they had been neglecting for quite some time. We talked about it last week. And the people of God committed to their Lord to again begin giving in support of the ministry. And so on that day of celebration and dedication, they began doing just that. And the implication here is that they started doing that after a long time of not doing that, and they were committed to doing that consistently for the rest of their future. And that support, those offerings, those tithes, were used to support the ministers who did the Lord's work. The priests, the Levites, and the singers. The chief musicians, the worship leaders. Man, in the days of David, he had chief musicians, he had worship leaders that were fully paid, fully supported, on staff to lead in the worship. And so they're getting everything properly arranged now. They've got their facilities. They've got a revived people. Their city's been repopulated. And now all the ministers at work, and they're adequately supported, so that the work of the Lord can be done, and the praise and worship and singing and celebration of God can be done. What a day for them to rejoice. This shows so clearly, my brother and sister in Christ, how serious God is about us praising Him, worshiping Him, celebrating Him. Throughout the Old Testament, you see God's people called to celebrate Him, to sing, to worship, to make sure that there were ministers who were able and supported to do that. Here they make sure that that system is put back in place. Organized worship, corporate worship. You look in the New Testament, and you see the church singing hymns. You look in the book of Revelation, and you notice something very striking about what goes on in heaven. What goes on in heaven? Worship. Singing. Rejoicing. And so what should go on in the church today? Singing. Rejoicing. Celebration. Perhaps you're here this morning as a Christian and you have not been celebrating for a long time. Perhaps there is that barrier in your life. Get cleansed before your Lord. Perhaps you're here as a Christian and you're not celebrating because you're too concerned about things that you don't have when you have so much. Rejoice in the Lord. Or again, perhaps you're here this morning and you don't understand celebration because you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never had your sins forgiven. Bible says all you need to do is admit that you're a sinner to the Lord. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Invite Him to come into your life. The Bible says at that moment, you are born again. You become a child of God. You become a member of the church. And you can join the Thanksgiving choir and sing praises to the Lord your God. And if you were to do that this morning, the Bible tells us that when one sinner repents, there's a great celebration that erupts in heaven. If you give your heart to Christ, if you get your life changed this morning, you pray a prayer to receive Christ, the angels in heaven throw a party over you. There's celebration. There's rejoicing in heaven. Let's pray. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I'm going to ask the worship band to come up. Lord, you have given us so much to celebrate. There is so much joy in knowing you. You have poured out your blessings upon us. You have purified us. You have forgiven us of our sin. You've sanctified us. There should be an eruption of joy from our hearts and from this place. If you're here this morning and you don't know the joy of the Lord, you've never experienced His presence in your life, you need to come into a relationship with Him this morning. You need to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior. And if that would be your desire this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand up high so I can see it. Just raise your hand up high. Say, that's me. I want to become a child of God. I want to enter into His family this morning. Raise your hand up high if that's you. Anyone here? Then if you're here this morning and you've just lost that celebration spirit, that joy, I want to pray for you. And you pray this prayer to the Lord as well. Just say, Lord, fill my life with joy once again, supernatural joy. Joy that is independent of my circumstances. The joy of knowing you. And if there needs to be confession in your life, then I would ask you to do so right now. Confess your sins to the Lord. Return to the Lord your God. Let Him put that new song in your heart. Just a few moments for you to do that. Do business with the Lord right now. Just a few moments of silence. Now I'm going to ask the people of God to stand. Saints, let's stand. If we had a big wall, I'd divide us into a couple of Thanksgiving choirs, but we're not going to do that. We are going to finish with a song of praise and worship. And you know what's kind of neat about being in a tent? We literally can be seen and heard. Joy can be seen and heard erupting from this tent. And as we close this service, let's sing to the Lord. Amen? Let's celebrate.